It's just, I just haven't showered today.
Would you ever keep it up? That'd be a power move. Like Conan O'Brien?
I don't think so. I don't wanna.
Like.
I like my bangs.
Like Elvis?
I like my bangs.
But I'm saying, you have the choice of variety, of versatility. You should be blessed. You should be grateful that you have, that you're blessed, that you could have a choice. You should switch it up. I'm just saying, maybe one day just try it. Like John Travolta in Grease. Try it. Have it up. See what happens. It'd be a power move. Say a Bannigan turns around a corner. Bang! Another foot of hair. Of just hair.
I'll do it. I'll stick it up right now just for
do
you.
Do it when you go to New York. Yeah. Get that Jimmy Neutron. You have a bit, sorry.
I don't know if it's as funny as that is, but now you gotta hit it. Okay, I'll serve again. I'll serve again, Andrew.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
everyone outside and in between,
welcome
back to a very long conversation about movies and art and TV, whatever else you feel like talking about. I'm your producer, Sam Bannigan.
And I am Andrew Thomas. Sam Bannigan, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I had a pretty decent week. A little bit of bad news.
Oh, no.
I just didn't get a part in a show that I really wanted to be
in.
Oh, no. Yeah. And, yeah, things are chill otherwise. Yeah, pretty decent. Nothing to report, really. Nothing crazy. How about you? How's your week?
The week was fine. Busy. I'm working even more. Trying to have a fun summer. Trying to have a productive summer. To have either of those types of summer, you need money.
It's true. This is very true.
Festivals cost money.
This is very true.
To submit, to be a part of, to attend.
Yep.
It's a Ponzi scheme. No, it's not. It helps people. It helps people like you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next 2 weeks, I'm just going to work a lot more. Get more money. I have two shows that I'll be doing.
Nice.
There's a show that I'm going to that I'm excited about. Yeah.
Great.
Saw a weird movie yesterday.
What movie?
2024's. Going to be 2023.
Are you saying this movie?
Yeah, this movie.
This is a movie? This is the movie that you say is a weird movie?
Okay. We'll get there. What else? That's it. I'm trying to think of anything.
It's okay to have we're allowed to have kind of whatever weeks, you know. We don't need to have great or horrible weeks every week just for the podcast.
Sometimes we have good stories.
It's true. I don't think we have good stories this time around. I don't have any good stories.
Last week I saw a show with Kelly and two of her friends, and it's Sarah Paulson's new show, Appraisal, I forget. I wish I had the playbill with me. The show is basically a family is clearing out a house, and then they find it's their dad's house. He recently passed away, and they found like this book of lynchings and black people being hung in horrible photos, and it's the family arguing amongst themselves, and it's a good show. It's well written. But that's the show. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who wants to read it or see it. I leave the show with three older white ladies all around me. Because that's how I roll. That's how I roll on these streets.
Okay.
And then a woman comes over to me and says, "Excuse me, hi. I'm in Midtown all the time." So I'm just like, yeah, the M&M store is two blocks up. I'm like, it's nothing God to damn. Me. What if Kelly's directing friends
the motherfuckers to the M&M store.
What if my Kelly's friends hilarious. Were like, maybe they recognized him from comedy. I was like, oh, Jesus, I wish. Oh, good Lord, I wish if that was it. I'd be treating everyone to dinner. But no, this woman comes up to me and she's like, "I have to say, you're the only black man I see walking out of the show." And I was like, "Oh, okay, all right. What did you think?" And I was like, "I don't know. Art's supposed to be challenging. The feeling that you feel is supposed to be confrontational. Ain't that something?" And then she was like, "Can I give you a hug?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?"
Oh my God.
Her Kelly's friends, they're British, so they're just like, just going up and speaking to someone, let alone what she said, just going up to someone else.
That's so the
cringe.
Funny. The I'm amount like, that's of just... white guilt that person feels is so, that's so funny.
I was like, that's just Tuesday. that's a night at Broadway, ladies and gentlemen. So there's...
She's going to go back home to the Midwest, and she's going to tell all her friends how she solved racism.
The Midwest? She's going to go back to the Upper West Side. What are you talking? She's going to go back to her penthouse apartment. And tell all her friends. That's what's going to happen.
I hugged an underprivileged black man today.
She's going to walk up. I'm going to see her in the elevator to NBC. And says, "See, I did something good for this." That's who did that. Anywho. Speaking of weird racial dynamics. Luca Guadagnino's 2024, very popular.
Smash hit.
We'll see.
Smash hit, Andrew.
What, it make $15 million?
I'm looking it up. Everyone calm down. Yeah, $15 million. Just in America, $25 million worldwide.
On what opening weekend. Budget? Well, was it getting there. Worth? Because I heard $15 million, and I was like, "Was it worth pushing it off?"
Okay, budget $55 million.
Could Zendaya beat Carey Mulligan for that nomination? Could that have happened?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Who else was it? Sorry to start it like this, but that's what I...
Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone, Carey Mulligan, Annette Bening.
Could she beat Annette Bening off that list? Or no, because Annette Bening is Annette Bening.
Absolutely. Let me look. No, that's not what I want. I don't want to see that. I want to go here. Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah, she would have gotten in there.
I think Carey Mulligan and Annette Bening could both be off this list and replaced with Zendaya.
But we'll see later on this year. This movie came out in April. It might have been too long. Was it worth the gamble?
I also think both of the... either one of the guys could have beat out Bradley Cooper.
I don't think they would have because of Hollywood politics.
Yeah, they wouldn't have, but I think they could have.
But I think because of Hollywood politics...
They might have actually gone into supporting actor. I don't know how they would have pitched it. Anyway, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Anyway, Challengers. We saw Challengers.
We saw Challengers.
We saw it. We watched it. Sam Bannigan, what'd you think?
I fucking love this movie, dude. I had a blast watching it. I thought it was so much fun. I loved the editing and the construction of the story and the reveals of information. There was like one or two things that I don't really like, that kind of took me out of it. So I really want to watch it again to see kind of how it holds up and once I understand kind of the structure of it, because I was a bit confused of just like, wait, when is this happening? Okay, this is okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it. Now I'm picking up the timelines that we're doing. And then, yeah, and just stuff about like tennis. Like I was just like, I don't understand how these set.
Oh, you match, never played game. Wii tennis?
I played Wii. Oh, Andrew. I played a lot of Wii tennis, but I never paid attention to, like, how many sets am I playing or whatever the fuck
goal,
it is.
Goal, match point.
Yeah. I know how points work in tennis. I don't know how, like, a whole the whole thing
works. The whole
works.
Stretch. The whole
kick. Yeah, like, when it was, like, 6-2 and 2-6, I was like, I don't understand what those numbers mean, but I don't think I need to, so I'll try to stop paying attention to it. But... a fucking banger movie. Like, so good.
Would you ever watch tennis? Would that be a sport of yours? Or no?
No. The only reason I liked this was because you could, like, see the, like, storytelling that was happening in the... like, the tennis doesn't matter in this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's just using it as, like, a way to convey... relationships and storytelling and that sort of stuff. It truly isn't. This is not a sports movie, like, at all. But it's just the intensity of that, I think, is interesting. And yeah, fucking what a score! Holy shit!
Yeah,
I was like dancing in my seat like the whole movie. I was like, this shit fucking rips, dude! Holy fuck!
In terms of the pushing this movie back because of the writer's strike.
Mm.
I'm glad, because they have a chance. They weren't going to beat Ludwig, but they have a chance now.
They have a chance this year. I would be hard pressed to, I mean, Hans Zimmer's score is really good, but this fucking goes insane.
They've been on a heater. It's crazy between this, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mank, and Soul. They have just stepped
and
up their game.
Didn't they do The Killer?
Oh, The Killer! Yes!
And I think they did Bones and All.
I didn't see Bones and All.
I haven't seen Bones and All either, but I think they also... I think
they did another
they
movie,
did
too.
Bones and All as well. I'll look it up. But yeah, I fucking love this movie. I'm really impressed by it. I wasn't really sure what I was gonna think going into it, but it was phenomenal. What did you think?
I liked it. Well, I didn't love it, but I did like it. I was disappointed. I didn't walk in with like sky high expectations. Like, Poor Things, I walked in with sky high expectations. This movie, I was like, all right, this is a movie that I'm pretty sure I will like no matter what, no matter what I get.
Yeah.
And I did like it. I was right.
Great.
But I did want to like it more. But that's okay. I enjoyed myself. It was an interesting movie. It had its fun moments. Like, I wish it was more. I wish it was a little bit more campier. I wish it was a little bit more scandalous. A little bit more.
Oh.
But that's
who I am. I think I would have liked this movie a lot less if it did that.
That's who you are as a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Like, I was just thinking now. I was just, right before we recorded, I was like, I would have loved it if this had the tone of May, December. I would have loved it if it was...
That movie sucks so hard, dude.
That movie rocks. That movie's...
I would have been so sad.
That movie rocks. But... Yeah. The movie has a lot on its mind. And I do disagree with you. I do think this is a sports movie. I think this is through and through as much a sports movie as Rocky or Creed. This movie has a lot in common, like much like Creed 3. Like, yeah, it's not about boxing, sure, but it's about the catharsis of competing. Competing's like sex.
But the thing that makes me say that I don't really consider this a sports movie is, in all of those examples, the conflict between the characters is centered around the sport, right? Mm-hmm. Like Creed 3, they are the two main characters are in conflict because of, like, you know, the story and
their different
opportunities that they've had and their backgrounds, mm-hmm, and blah blah blah. But it's focused on, like, okay, we're gonna fight each other, right? Like, that's gonna be the thing, mm-hmm, that's gonna resolve this. And Challengers doesn't feel like it's focused on the tennis. It's focused on the relationships between them and all this other stuff. And then it's just like, also just tennis is going to be how we kind of like represent some stuff that's happening. But like the focus is on the relationship instead of on the sport that they're playing. Does that make sense?
I get what you mean.
Like when we watch like Rudy, like that's yes, it's about like Rudy being Rudy, but
Rudy being Rudy.
It's about like football, you know.
I don't really consider.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's been years since I've seen it, but the sports movies I know are like Creed. So Creed is always focused on like the boxing,
the training, the getting your body. Yeah, it's training up to the boxing
match to do the. Yeah, you have to do that, and that's where the conflict is going to be resolved. And in Challengers, that doesn't feel like that's what's happening. It's just kind of using tennis as like a way to
it's less like show how Creed
fucking
3.
Horny these people are.
It's less like Creed 3 in how it handles sports, but it's more like Social Network in how it handles the tech of it all.
Yeah, yeah. Social Network is about Facebook, but it's not really about Facebook.
It's about,
yeah,
friendships and molding. I do have a question, yeah, for you before we get into the cast. Yeah. What did you think of the script? What did you think of the characters?
We're doing this before we do cast?
Yeah, because you didn't like the holdovers because everyone was a jerk. Everyone's a jerk in this movie.
Okay, I don't like the holdovers because everyone's a jerk and it's trying...
Talk about fights!
Yeah, we're getting into it. Ding, ding, round one. I don't like the holdovers because everyone in that movie sucks and the movie is trying to, like, endear them to you. It's trying to make you feel bad for them and, like, pity them and be like, oh, but they're doing their best. Challengers doesn't for a second want you to like these people. They're just like, no. They all suck. I'm still going to tell you an interesting story about them, but these people are not like good people. You should not, you are not, the movie is never trying to endear you to Zendaya as a character, right? It's never trying to make you feel bad for Patrick Zweig. It's never trying to make you like Art Donaldson, right? Like, it's just like, these are the people, here's your story, have fun. It's not trying to make you like them. If you like them, that's your fucking call. But the movie isn't trying to do that.
That it does about the movie.
Yeah. But the movie isn't doing it. Whereas in The Holdovers, the movie is trying to make you like them really, really hard. And I don't like that. It's like Sonny. Sonny doesn't try to make you like the characters.
Yes, it does. You pity, no, it doesn't, and love Charlie. Yes, you do. Yes.
You do, but the way the show is done, I don't think is trying to make you feel that way. I think we feel that way because we watch 12 seasons of them doing it, and you're like, man, they just keep putting Charlie down, and then Charlie kidnaps a little person, and then you're like, well, maybe.
Also,
maybe this isn't great.
Max Dance. No, I disagree with this entirely. No, Max Dance.
Okay, Max Dance, I'll give you. But I think generally that show is not trying to endear you to the characters.
Yeah.
I think we are endeared to those characters because we've seen the show, because we like the show so much. And I think because it's a comedy, it's easier to like be like, ah, they're just having fun.
Mm-hmm. Like Seinfeld.
No.
Flip, flip. Sam took his fingers out of his finger holster, cocked back his thumbs, and said, no.
No. So that's my argument for that. Round one, ding, ding. Sam.
All right. We'll get to round two later. We'll hop into this cast. Yeah. We'll go back to our corners. Go back to our corners.
I mean, can we just talk about like the three people?
Yeah, I mean, that's
this movie. Everyone else who's in this movie, there's a bunch of cool cameos. There's a bunch of cool, a lot of the people who like were crew members got to be like have small parts. Everyone does a great job. Good job, everybody. But we're going to talk about Josh O'Connor, Mike Faced, and Zendaya. I don't want to categorize them because they're all really good.
Of course, yeah.
They're all kind of the main people. So all three of them. Thoughts on all three.
Josh O'Connor, this is the first thing I've seen him in. Unless it's not.
Have you seen Emma?
Yes. Oh.
He's in Emma.
Okay.
He's also in The Crown.
I liked Emma.
I
like Anya Taylor-Joy. I was sad when she didn't get the Dune role because I know nothing about Dune, but I was like, I wish she was in Dune. And then she was in Dune.
She is in Dune.
Yeah, but in the initial casting, it was for that role, for Florence Pugh.
Oh, yeah. There was a few people who were all maybe going
to
be.
I was rooting for Anya Taylor-Joy, but went to Florence Pugh, and I was like, oh, dang. But now she's in Dune.
Yeah. he's in one episode of Doctor Who. He's in a couple episodes of Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
He's been around, but,
it was funny.
Yeah, I would say this is probably his big thing.
He just looks British. It's just me.
He do just look British, and he is British, so that works.
So it works, but during the movie he was doing an American accent. I was like, you're doing a good job, but come on.
Yeah, he plays Prince Charles in The Crown.
Dang.
Makes sense. They got those big ears.
They got those big ears. Big ear boys. I really liked him. I liked everyone in this movie. What did you think?
Yeah.
Mike Feist, you got...
I loved all of their performances. I have some issues that we'll get into in a moment, but I loved all of their performances. I thought they were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Josh O'Connor was great. Really happy to see Mike Faced doing more stuff.
Did you like him in West Side Story?
I do like him in West Side Story. He's the best part of that movie. But that movie is garbage.
Crazy.
And I saw him on Broadway when he did, he was the original cast in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, wow. Who was he?
He plays the dead guy.
Oh, the yes. Yes.
Yeah. The dead brother friend guy.
Crazy. Look at him. You've seen him when he was on Broadway. Now he's out here making out with Zendaya.
That's true. And Josh O'Connor.
And Zendaya. What were you going to say?
And he was also just in The Bike Riders, which I haven't seen.
But Is that out yet?
I really want to check out. Yeah, apparently it came out in December.
Dang.
Yeah. Just this quiet little, oh, here's a movie.
Maybe it was just a limited release. It'll come out wide later. Or maybe it's just one of those movies you'll see at Walmart.
I think it's just one of those movies. I think it's just one of those movies that just kind of like happened and didn't, and maybe wasn't great. So people were just like, we're just going to kind of not worry about it.
Dang. That really does happen to some movies though. There are movies that I look forward to. There is this Western that with Natalie Portman and Christian Bale, I think Ewan McGregor was going to be in it.
Oh, wow.
It was like in 2012 or 2013. I was like, oh, cool. And then it just went through a bunch of production problems. It just came out on DVD. Never had a... Like, Natalie Portman and Christian Bale, real actors who, like...
Yeah.
Their opening weekends get millions of dollars. Just went straight to DVD. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, like, Bike Riders stars fucking Austin Butler. And I feel like if it came out, like, after Dune... Which it was supposed to. It would have gotten a lot more hype because people loved Austin Butler and Dune.
Yeah.
But this movie has fucking Jodie Comer, Tom Hardy, Michael Shannon. There's no reason for this movie to have a quiet release, but it did.
Dang. Rip to the Bike Riders, I guess.
Yeah. I was looking forward to this movie. it just came and went.
Zendaya, once again, being impressive. Once again, switching it. Just out of Dune.
Yeah, really great.
Again, I didn't really love Dune, but I loved her in it. And once again, I don't really love this movie, but I love her in it. Malcolm and Marie just as bad. It's just not a good movie. But
we don't need to talk about Malcolm and Marie.
Yeah, these just two excellent performances.
Yeah, I loved Zendaya in this as well. I want to talk about my problem, one of my main problems with this movie here.
Please.
I don't believe for a second that any of these three people are in their mid-30s.
I believe Josh O'Connor is.
Josh O'Connor, I believe... But Mike Faced and Zendaya look like they are 27 because they are 27.
Did they produce, or did Zendaya produce this movie?
Yeah. Look, she's great. She's so good in this movie. But I do not believe for a second that she has like a 8-year-old kid.
It should have been a younger kid.
The kid should have been younger.
Especially seeing
like if the kid was like
how little their screen time, how little they are in the story. Yeah. I think it could have been a younger kid to buy into it more, right?
Yeah. If that kid is like 2, then I'm like, got it. Okay. Yeah, you look young, but it's okay. But that kid is like 6. Ish, right? Like 6, 7 maybe?
Yeah, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7 I'd say at least.
Somewhere around there. And I don't believe for a second that Mike Faced and Zendaya had a kid 5, 6 years ago. Like not for a minute
right, did I believe that. Right, they make out, spoiler alert for the whole movie. But they make out in the parking lot and then they have a 2-year-old. Okay, that makes sense. They make out in the parking lot and then they have a 6-year-old? Wait. Pump the brakes.
Yeah. It's boy, really, it's lying. Like a weird, that kid could be younger and I don't think it changes anything about the movie, and it makes it way more believable. Because, like, they all meet when they're, like, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And then this movie is supposed to take place mainly, like, 15 to 16 years after that, right? I can't remember the year.
I think it was 18. How many...
18? So they're supposed to be 36? I don't believe for it. Sorry, there's something outside cleaning the streets.
Say again?
There was something. There was a street sweeper thing coming by. It was loud. I don't believe for a second that these motherfuckers are 36 years old.
It's a good script.
You can give Zendaya all the haircuts you want, but it doesn't matter.
It's a good script. I get it. I get. You don't want to wait 6 years. I should wait till I'm age appropriate to play this role.
No. I think generally speaking, they are the right age to like do this part because they have to play older and they have to play younger. So cast them in the middle. So that it doesn't look weird when they're all 18.
Yeah.
I think where they like they're all in their late 20s. I think Josh O'Connor. I know Zendaya was born, I think, 95. 96. She's our age. And then Mike Face and Josh O'Connor, I think, are also kind of around our age. Okay, Josh O'Connor was born in 1990, so he is in his 30s. So he is 34, which is why he looks like he's in his 30s when he needs to look like he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
And Mike Face is 92, so he's also just in his 30s. He's like 31, 32. So Zendaya being not even 30... It just makes it harder to believe that she has a, like, 5-year-old kid.
Yeah, her being young does help this, like, you know, high school never ends. This, like, they're never out of that adolescence. They're never, even with a 5-year-old kid, they're still... playing these games, they're still doing this. It helps, but I hear what you're saying. It is a little bit like a play, a high school play. Yeah, I'm 27. Okay.
Okay. 15-year-old. All right. Whatever you say. I've done it. I fucking did it.
And it happens, and it works. And again, you don't read this script and go, I'll wait 3 years.
Yeah. But that's just what happened.
Yeah, make the kid a 2-year-old.
Make the kid a 2-year-old.
Look at us, Hollywood fixers. Like, we'll fix it up for you.
Hollywood fixers. Make that kid a 2-year-old, and like that problem, I think, basically goes away. Because you're just like, oh, yeah, they could have a 2-year-old. That's
and
fine.
They're in their 30s. They're young 30. Great. But you see them with that kid, and whatever. You're like...
You're like, hold on. Hold up. I don't know about all that. And then even when they're like talking about like, oh, you know, Art Donaldson, he's like, he's getting older. I don't know if he wants to still be doing this. I'm like, he looks maybe 30.
Yeah, but that's athletes. That's people talking about retirement. But then, they're 32.
But he says it's embarrassing to still be doing this when you're 40. And it looks like he's talking about a decade later, not like 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just small things. Overall, I still love this movie and I love their performances. I think they're phenomenal, but I'm just saying.
You're just saying. Sam, just saying.
There's just a couple little things. You know what I mean? You want to talk about Luca?
Of course, Luca.
Or do you have any more thoughts about cast people?
Yeah, I think they're all great.
Great.
What is Luca's filmography?
Big ones, Challengers, Bones and All, Suspiria, Call Me by Your Name.
And they have some Italian films.
And then, Italian films and a couple other smaller films. around. But yeah, he's been where he did a lot of like short films, music videos, that sort of stuff for a long time. And then did a movie. What is this movie? Yeah, did a movie called A Bigger Splash in 2015. Ooh. Tilda Swinton, Ralph Fiennes, Dakota Johnson. It's a good cast. Wow. I just never fucking heard of this movie. Matthias Schoenaerts. Good cast. I don't know what this fucking movie is, but this was
only seen Suspiria and Call Me by Your Name.
I've only seen Call Me by Your Name. I haven't seen Suspiria.
Okay.
I really want to watch Suspiria and Bones and All.
I do want to see Bones and All. That just went by.
Yeah. That was one of those weird 2022 releases that just kind of happened. And it was just like, what? That happened? Oh, okay. Yeah. Shit.
I like him as a director. I think he's a great director. Yeah. He really gets the humanity of the story.
Yeah. I was really impressed by it, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really great. And I haven't seen anything he's done since Call Me by Your Name, which I also loved Call Me by Your Name. So it was cool to see, you know, that was however many years ago. 7 years ago. It's cool to see kind of, you know, 7 years down the line, what he's up to now, and, mm-hmm. and it was fucking great, like really, really phenomenal. Do you have like any thoughts about like there was a lot of like stylistic choices?
Yeah, love being a tennis ball.
This was one of my other issues, small issues. I liked the sequence when the camera was the tennis ball. I didn't like the sequence where we were in the like first person view of both the guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's the other way. It's that we were the guys. I also didn't like it when I saw, and then we were the ball and I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. The ball, we're being the ball was cool.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's, you see cool. The POV and you're like, oh, we're in it. I get it. Yeah. And then you're the ball and you're like, oh, okay, this is the most important moment of all of their lives.
Yeah, it's great.
Bounce, bounce, bounce.
I loved the I don't know how they fucking did it, but the underneath shots.
Yeah.
Of them.
I thought it was a glass.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's glass. Yeah. But still, just fucking looks amazing.
I wonder how long it took them to shoot it all together.
Yeah, I don't know. How long did they have to play tennis for? Like, well, just before, like, just to train to do this movie?
Right? Apparently, and you see it sometimes in the movie, the ball CGI.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
that. So yeah, I don't know how professional
tennis players. Well, they still looked like they were playing tennis. Like, they still did a decent amount of training, even just to get the, like, choreography down. You know? But, yeah, I really liked it. Man. I've been thinking about this movie a lot since I saw it. It's just good. I'm just a fan.
What, like, do you think this movie's... You talk about a lot, like a movie needs to be about something. About, what is it about? Mm. What do you think this movie's about? What is it leaving us with? What are we taking away from this?
I mean, I think this movie is very much about like overlap of like what's the thing? People were making this joke on Twitter, so I don't know what that actual quote is, and I think it's a bit. I can't remember. But people have been saying, I saw people on Twitter saying, everything is about sex except for sex. Sex is about tennis.
That's funny.
And I think, yeah, I think it's showing, you know, how are these complicated relationships? How do you, like... I think... I think these two men, Art and Patrick, are like very bisexual and aren't really sure about that, you know, like they, I don't think have the, just due to their upbringing and, you know, having to go to private school and tennis playing and sports and all that sort of stuff. It's not really a conversation that they have with themselves. They're just like, no, I just love my friend. Like, it's fine. It doesn't matter. But they're actually really in love with each other. And then, but they're bi, so they also fall in love with, you know, the most beautiful woman that either of them have ever seen. And then this movie is about, like, how this, like, you know, relationships kind of form when people are in love and interested in each other and just want to fuck. And, like, you know, where's the, how do you stay in each other's lives? I saw a great review on Letterboxd that was like, how do you live your life knowing that, like, the man that you're with is everything that you wish you had, but you couldn't because you got injured. And, but how do you, like, how do you stay married to somebody who, you know, loved your best friend first and you kind of stole them away? And how do you be in the lives of your best friend and the woman that you love when both of them kind of hate you? And wouldn't you rather be the thorn in their side just to be around them more? And this, like, complicated, you know, actual love triangle of, like, how do these people all deeply care about each other? You know, like, you can, even though Art and Patrick aren't, like, friends anymore, like, there's still a level of like, oh, we were best friends for, like, however many, you know, 10 years or whatever it is. That kind of, like, love for each other doesn't just go away.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's, like, a level of respect and love that they have for each other. And, like, how does this all kind of get tied up when you're both interested in the same person and you both kind of, you know, how do you. Yeah, sorry, I kind of rambled, but this movie just was, like, a lot of stuff.
And what happens when the only thing you're good at is hitting a ball with a racket?
Yeah.
I think it's also about, like, what else are these people doing? What else, like, what else is going on for them? Like,
yeah.
A part of it is boredom. A part of it's they enjoy the game because what else are they going to do?
Yeah. What else? Was there other stuff that you kind of picked up on?
It's this. Yeah, the triangle. It is a very fascinating love triangle that these three are caught up in. It's.
Mm-hmm.
I found her cheering at the end to be so goofy, to be so
really
so okay.
What do you mean oh okay, what are you,
it's, I think it's just cheesy and hokey. I think there is a better way to end it. Also, it was funny. Every time it cut back to the future, gotta go back in time. every time they to the current tennis match, I was just waiting for him to do the signal to serve like him. It was just that. Yeah. All right, when is he gonna do it? When is he gonna do it? When is he gonna do it? And the tension. It was very interesting how it winds its tension.
Yeah, I was a big fan of how it kind of built on itself and built that tension throughout the movie. Because you're like, because you watch, you know, the first parts of that final tennis match early on in the movie, and you're like, these three characters, there's a lot of tension between these three, and I don't know why yet, but we're gonna get there. And then it just keeps, like, showing you how tense it is in that situation, and then showing you bits and pieces of, like, why is it so tense right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I really liked. Okay, so this goes to something that I wanted to talk about. I really liked Zendaya screaming at the end, because for a movie that is, like, deeply, deeply horny, like so horny all the time. Everyone's so hot. They're dripping sweat. There's slow motion shots of like muscles rippling and stuff. Like they're so, it's so horned up. And this movie has like multiple like kind of sexual scenes. There's scenes of people making out. There's scenes of, you know, people fucking, kind of, you know, there's all this sort of stuff. But you never actually see anybody have an orgasm until the very end of the movie, until Zendaya screams and they slam into each other when Patrick catches him, right? Like, that is the first and only time in this whole movie where anybody has an orgasm. And I loved that. I loved that the movie, like you were saying, was building all this tension and all of this relationship tension, but all this also the sexual tension of like they're all attracted to each other and they're all have fucked, and it's just like this whole mess of stuff, right? And nobody, like, there's no release of it until they all come
at right the at same the time movie. All on the court.
They all come at the same time, and I loved that. I thought it was such a great way to like show to release the tension for the characters and the movie, but also for the audience to be like, I've been spending the last 2 hours building you up for something, and here it is, and now you can come, you know, like, ah, you're done.
Yeah.
And I love that. I thought that was fantastic.
I just found it on the nose. That was my thing.
You finding something on the nose?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
How so?
Crazy. Never would have thought. Never would have thought.
Yeah, I just found it to be a bit like, oh, okay. I get it. Okay. That's it? All right.
Do you not want to come? Do you not want to have an orgasm at the end of this movie?
No, I just felt it was... could have had a different catharsis than how do I describe this?
But they're so horny, like, the whole time.
They are.
What other catharsis do you get from being horny other than an orgasm?
And her, come on!
Yeah. They also spend so much of the movie being when Patrick goes to Art in the sauna and he's like, I've missed you. I've missed playing tennis with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's also saying like, oh yeah, these two guys are like some of the best in the world and at what they do. And they don't feel like they've ever really played tennis except for when they played with each other. I think that is also very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so like the moment where they're like, that final match where they're really going at it,
and they're playing tennis
closer and closer. And it's like, oh, this is like good tennis. Like this is the thing that they've all wanted for years and haven't gotten. You know, it's that buildup of like, you know, edging. Almost like you're just building, and like they can't ever find the release that they want because they aren't playing with each other until this moment. Ah, it's great. Ah, this movie's fantastic.
Magnifico. How do you feel about the sex scenes in this movie? Do you feel... how do you feel about sex scenes in just movies in general?
Show more dong. I've been saying this since like our third episode or whatever. More dongs in Hollywood. Let's see a dong. I don't understand this. This is something that you mentioned, but the Gen Zers, they aren't a fan of the sex scene. It seems. It seems there is an anti-sex scene
sentiment movement going around
out there. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't get it. Do you not like sex? I like sex. Who doesn't like sex? I guess asexuals don't like sex, but everybody else likes sex. Right? So why not?
I don't know. Maybe there's just a whole generation that just doesn't like sex.
Why?
A whole generation of people fun. Who do not want to penetrate someone and do not want to be penetrated.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Sex is great. Ridiculous, I say.
Ridiculous. Sex is great. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you only get like one or two in this movie. And even then it's kind of like one of them leads into a fight. And then one of them, you see just people making out in the wind.
Right.
So it's not like this movie is like chock full of sex.
Right. It's not softcore forward.
Yeah. I think I get the, I think sometimes sex scenes can be used just as like, I think for a long time they were kind of exploitative. And I get that. I get the feeling of like, I don't, you know, do we need to have this sex scene here? Or is the director just horny and wants to see this like hot actress that they've cast naked? You know what I mean? Sometimes I get it. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is a little much. I don't know what you're doing here. You know, like the sex scene in Watchmen.
Which one?
Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That, I feel like, is this actually doing anything, or is it just kind of there because you want
to? They can only get it up when they're superheroes. It's in the text.
Yeah.
It's in the text. That's an orgasm. She hits the fire button, and then fire farts out of the jet.
Yeah, maybe I just don't like how Zack Snyder films it. generally speaking, I think sex scenes are fine. I don't have many issues with them. I think don't be gratuitous with it. You know, there's no point in making it gross. But people have sex, like people fuck, like
so
it's okay to like tell stories where people fuck.
Another movie that is quite horny, but it's horny in a different way. Poor Things. What?
Poor Things, very horny.
But in a different way. Why is it different?
It's very different.
What? Because one, I'm going to say it, but one's childlike. One's more the exploring of sex.
Yeah, I think Poor Things is using sex as like a vehicle for discovery and intimacy and kind of like pleasure and kind of, you know, Bella Baxter kind of exploring the world a little bit. And I think that the way that sex scenes are used there is kind of showing, you know, autonomy and how people live and all this sort of stuff. I think the way that sex scenes are used in Poor Things is what am I trying to say? Is like well done, to put it simply. Mm-hmm. And I think you see so much of it because that's the kind of story that it's telling, right? Like it's kind of showing like, hey, Bella is like, you know, becoming a sexual person and she wants to experience the world. And this is how she kind of can experience some level of pleasure and do her thing.
And it's not like they're putting the covers over their head just to like tickle each other. No, they are actually going at it.
Yeah.
As close to actual porn as you can get. While this movie isn't quite as hardcore as that, and nor is the story to asking for that. That's not...
Yeah.
Even though I think if it was more explicit, again, being explicit without being gratuitous, with its sex and tying that in with sport. I don't know. There's a part of me that wish this movie was more horny.
This movie is extremely horny. What are you talking about? I wish this movie was more sexy.
More just...
This movie's sexy. That shot of Mike's face when he's like leaning down and all the sweat is like dripping off of him towards the camera. Oh! Hot as hell, dude. The movie
to be
crazy.
As campy as The Yell. That's my issue.
As what?
Campy. I think her exploding orgasm at the end. Zendaya's...
I don't think that's campy.
I think it's... Again, I think it's on the nose. I think it's... And she came. End of show. End of play. It's over.
But the whole movie is no one coming. Like, there's no other orgasms in the rest of this movie.
It's a lot of friction, no satisfaction.
Yeah.
That could have been the tagline. Yeah. A lot of friction, no satisfaction.
No satisfaction. Yeah, I sometimes your opinions baffle me.
Dang.
Just,
I'd be lying if I said yours did it too.
Sometimes you think you have a picture of like, oh yeah, I think this person will think this thing, right? We've been doing this for fucking however many years, 6 years. I think I know. And then you say some shit like that, and I'm just like, hold on, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Huh? Yeah, man, fucking wild. I love this movie. You don't have to like it. I think you're a little bit wrong. I love this movie.
I think the score is something else. Again, my guys.
The score is great.
My guys really showing up. Putting it all into the back.
This should if I went to a club and they just started playing the Challenger score.
Yes.
If I had a club. Rips. This is so good. There has to be, I'm sure, if there is ever a city that has a movie score themed club, it's New York, right? Like, that has to
exist. Or Los Angeles.
Or LA. I feel like that's more, I don't mean, that feels like a weird New York thing of like, oh yeah, if you go down this weird alley and go to this random door that has a film strip on it, you'll enter into a big ass club.
Yeah,
and they only play movie scores.
Like dubstep.
So if you want to get down to fucking Social Network, that's where you go.
That is a club in New York City. An old door that looks like it,
right?
Like, is like covered in splinters. You're like, what is this? And they walked out, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous,
the most
club.
Gorgeous room.
You're like, what in the? That's a painting on the ceiling. They should get that door fixed. Or is that a part of the whole aesthetic?
and then you just hear the Challenger score just going crazy. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Play Birdman. Let's go crazy. Let's play Birdman in the clubs.
Imagine getting grinded on to the theme of Schindler's List. My name is Andrew Thomas.
And I'm Sam Vanagon. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. You can find us all over the place at Welcome Back Pod. Our link tree is still linktree.com/welcomebackpod. You can find the links to all our different podcatchers. Like the track, review the track, like the podcast, review the podcast, all the different things on all the different podcatchers of your choice. Helps out the show a whole heck of a lot. But Andrew, as always, will tell you the absolute best way to support our little show.
So listen, we've all been in love triangles before. You know you have been. Don't say you're not one. Yes, you are. We've all been in love triangles before. And when we're all in that bedroom, all making out, doing that weird triangle kiss.
Hot. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Just a lot of saliva. That's my issue. A lot of saliva. But with that saliva, make a bubble and then tell them about Welcome Back.
Don't make a bubble.
Now that's horrible.
Okay.